Are there any Brahmavadis in the world today? Where do they live? What is their sadhana?
How do they walk?
How do they walk? See, generally, it is very difficult to know people's conception externally. Even if somebody is externally belonging to organization, that is, we could say, Mayavadi. But is it necessary that all the people in that organization will also be having Mayavad? As I said, Brahmavad means people just attracted to the impersonal manifestation. They have their idea of oneness and they want to go into the oneness. And they have not been explained the personal aspect in philosophical terms. So they have no attraction to it. Either they have not met devotees or they have not met learned devotees who can explain philosophical terms. So that's why that bhakti towards the personal aspect has not come. So in my understanding, most people whom we deal with, it is safe to, most people who are spiritualists and who talk about oneness, it is safe to start with the idea that they are Brahmavadis. No need to presume that they are Mayavadis. So there are of course some people who are offensive to the Lord also. But most of their followers, they are not philosophical. So we could say that there are Mayavadis and people under Mayavad influence. And people under Mayavad influence are usually not Mayavadis, they are just Brahmavadis. They have the idea of oneness, that's all. So see, for most people, when they come to a spiritual path, philosophy is not what brings them to the spiritual path. It is a culture, it is a sense of community, it is a sense of continuity with tradition, it is a sense of belonging, it is a sense of peace of mind. There are so many things, other things actually which bring people to a spiritual organization, a spiritual movement, to make a choose a spiritual path. So even if people are following a particular spiritual path which is Mayavadi, their philosophy is not the major reason why they are following it. So for them to come to Krishna also, even if they have some philosophical conceptions, I am talking from a practical experiential perspective, philosophy is very rarely an obstacle for people to come to Krishna. There are some, but it's very rare. So even if their philosophy is wrong, wrong philosophy is not as much as an obstacle as our telling them that their philosophy is wrong. So what happens is, you tell them this is wrong. Oh, but you know, such a famous teacher says this, and you say that is wrong. How can you say they are wrong? So best is, for most people, we can present philosophy in a non-confrontational way. Just present the personal philosophy, and people, see, most Indians, if you can say, you're talking mostly about Indians, most Indians are more interested in worship than the object of worship. That means many people will come to the temple and pray with such folded hands, closed eyes, moving their head, with such sincerity, even I don't pray like this to Krishna. And while going back, you will ask, who is there on the altar? So the point is that it's like somebody who is out in the cold and they have got a torn, tattered piece of cloth. And we want to give them a very thick, a soft comforter, which will protect them from the cold much better. But if we tell them, you know, just put aside that cloth, and we try to pull that cloth away from them, they will hold on to that cloth as if it's their life. Because that is the only thing protecting them from cold right now. So instead of trying to pull away that cloth, just put the comforter on them. And once they start experiencing the comfort, hey, this is so good. And they will themselves think, actually, that torn, tattered sheet, I don't need it. Just put it aside. So what is this compared to is that people, this world is in rajas and tamas. And the modes of passion and ignorance cause a lot of agitation to people's minds. And even if people experience some sattva, they might just come to a place and they just close their eyes and do some deep breathing. They just recite some om or whatever. They do something and they experience some peace. And that's what they consider spiritual. So, although hardly any philosophy. Philosophy doesn't make sense, whatever. But they have come there because they got the experience. So it's like from the cold of Rajas and Tamas, whatever little spirituality they have done, that is like the tattered, thin sheet that is giving them protection. And so it may be wrong. It's like that it's torn, it's tattered. But it's giving them some experience of sattva over there. When we try to pull it away, so as I said, when their wrong philosophy doesn't obstruct them as much as ours calling their philosophy wrong. Just pull, give up this sheet. No. So just give our philosophy to them. Give them an opportunity to experience Krishna. Not just our philosophy, but the whole Krishna culture, the Krishna relationships, the Krishna worship. And many people actually make a seamless translation. So most people don't go to any spiritual path because of the philosophy. Philosophy is one aspect, no doubt. But it is not a very prominent aspect. So even if somebody's philosophy, even if we say people are Brahmavadis or Mayavadis, whatever, just don't worry about what they are. Focus on connecting them with Krishna. When Prabhupada went to America, actually there was a big interest in Indian spirituality. And that interest in Indian spirituality at that time was because of many other spiritual teachers who had gone in the past. Now most of them were impersonalists. But People just they were interested in Indian spirituality. They had some impersonal conceptions, but they were open to Indian spirituality. So, similarly, even if somebody is Mayavadi or whatever, often that makes them, at least at a practical level, favorable to Krishna. At an ideological or philosophical level, if they are at that level, they may be unfavorable. But most people are not at that level. So, we can assume that most people are like at the Brahmavad level and treat them accordingly, and many of them will come towards bhakti. Okay? Yeah. Yes.